Good evening, folks. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back with us again tonight for our online Bible study and prayer time. Hopefully, you were able to download and print off the prayer bulletin that was done for this week. And we're just going to go ahead and jump right into our Bible study here for tonight. If you have your Bibles, take and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. That is our text verse for tonight. Let's go ahead and I'll read that with you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I want to read that to you again from a little bit different version. I think it highlights some of the truths that we're going to be looking at here tonight. Let me read this again. It says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And especially that last phrase there. My first reading of it said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the second reading, it said, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And that's kind of the goal of holiness, bringing it to completion to that point where we are holy in God's eyes. But prior to that, it tells us how. It says to cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. So it's not just a matter of what we do and don't do. It's a matter of the spirit as well. And so tonight we're going to take a look at that aspect of holiness in spirit. Now, a number of years ago, there was a campus evangelism group that was on a campus, and they would approach students with this line. If I could flash on a screen before us all of your thoughts of this past week, you would have to leave town. Now, the response from that generally got some chuckles from the students that they were interacting with, but it made the point. We are all sinners. But as Christians, this is no laughing matter. Our thoughts are important to God. So let's consider that first point. Our thoughts matter. And let's look at this passage. Psalm 139 in verse 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Here it is. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Jesus taught this very principle in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember, he said, don't kill, but don't even hate. He said, don't commit adultery, but don't even think it. And he's going past the actions to the thought, to the spirit. You see, God's commands are intended to not only regulate our actions, but our thoughts as well. Now, last week, we considered bringing the appetites of our bodies under control. And we also have to bring our thoughts under control. That's getting rid of those defilements of body and spirit that our text verse had talked about. So Paul warns us about not addressing the spirit side of us in this matter of holiness. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says there, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Like, touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, all of those self-imposed rules of religion that there are today. Verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, verse 23, which things have indeed, these things have a show of wisdom in in worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Of this last part, it could be read, these things, these touch not, taste not, handle not, that was mentioned in verse 21. All of these rules that each religious group has for their followers, they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh, like we talked about last week, bringing our bodies under control, our appetites, our indulgences, our desires, bringing them under control. All of these rules is what Paul is saying here. They have no value in stopping those desires that we have. The rules are not bad to have, but having the rules and neglecting the inside, Paul is saying, it's pointless. We could regulate all of our outward actions, but still be corrupt on the inside. Our thought lives are more important in this matter of holiness. In fact, Solomon said it this way, as a man thinks, that's what he does. So what's laid out for us here, if we not neglect the outside, but if we focus on the inside, the spirit, as Solomon says, what we think, that's what we do, the outside will change. And then to further emphasize the importance of our thoughts, we read what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It's a familiar verse. Listen to it as I read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, when it comes to that verse, we often focus on all the different things mentioned in that verse. In fact, my Sunday school class, we're just finishing up 8 weeks now on just that verse, looking at each one of those individual things that Paul mentions there. And we sometimes miss what I think is one of the most important words in that entire verse. It's the word think. All of these things that we've mentioned here in verse 8, Paul is saying, think on these things. He's addressing our, not our actions, he's addressing our thoughts and how our thoughts, if we were to look at the context of that passage, our thoughts rob us of peace. It comes down to our thoughts. And then in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's our thoughts again. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Holiness begins in our minds and works itself out to our actions. So, let's apply this. What is it that stimulates unholy thoughts? What stimulates unholy thoughts? Well, let me give you a fairly quick list here. We have things like TV, movies, okay, those things that we watch for entertainment. Can they stimulate unholy thoughts? Absolutely. What about what you watch? Do they stimulate unholy thoughts? There was a time in this world where, I don't know how many decades ago you would have to go back, but I believe I've mentioned this before in passing. You would have some dirty old man or a pervert outside someone's bedroom window at night, and he's looking in the window at the woman doing whatever she's doing, and we call that a peeping Tom. Well, you don't hear much about that anymore because, well, I think one reason is We can be a peeping Tom right in our front room, looking through the window in front of us that's called a television, and see the same things that decades ago a peeping Tom would be looking for. TV, movies, they can stimulate unholy thoughts. Another category would be books and magazines that can stimulate unholy thoughts. And then we have websites that we visit, music that we listen to, conversations that we have with people, even Christian to Christian, those conversations can stimulate unholy thoughts. They all affect our minds. Everything that we watch, that we read, that we look at on the internet, everything that we listen to in the form of music, the conversations we have, all of it, good, bad, or ugly, it all affects our minds. So Philippians 4:8 is to be used as a filter for all of these things that are around us. The thoughts that are stimulated by these things, are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they excellent? Are they praiseworthy? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it warns us to not be conformed to this world. Conformed to this world, meaning the world is trying to conform this new creature in Christ into its mold through the mind. Romans 12, 1. And instead of resisting that attempt to conform us to its mold, we tend to give ground in that area when we ignore our spirit, our thoughts, the things that stimulate unholy thoughts. Think about the evolution of things. Years ago, Christians were very selective about the movies they went to see, if they went at all. Now, those same movies that decades ago a Christian wouldn't dare go see, now they're being watched in our own homes. Things have evolved, haven't they? Music is another medium that the world uses to influence our minds. How about this one? Suggestive stories or innuendo type jokes that we might share or tell. Now the Sunday school answer would be no, shouldn't listen to them. But we do. Our minds are being impacted, influenced. Paul even warned the early church about this. You say, what? Innuendo-type jokes, suggestive stories? Yes, he warned the early church about this. It's nothing new. They dealt with it then. And here's how he addressed it in Ephesians 5 and verse 3. He said, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Now, we would agree with that. But it also says in verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Paul had to warn the early church about this very same thing. And how about one more category? Impure thoughts. We read in the Old Testament, Job made a covenant with his eyes. He's guarding the influence of things outside to protect his spirit, his thoughts. David's eyes, they caused a lot of damage, didn't they? We have to guard our eyes, but we also have to be careful. If I could just slide this in here, not only do you and I have to guard our eyes and what we intentionally place before them, but we also have to be careful that we are not a source of temptation. This is the other side of that coin. 1 Timothy 2:9, Paul wrote this, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, this isn't a discussion to go into how much makeup is too much, how much jewelry is too much. I think God leaves that open-ended because there is room for personal preferences. The context of this verse, the point of this verse is we need to protect ourselves that we don't, because of the way we present ourselves, that we don't cause someone else's mind to be influenced by the way that we look. And folks, this applies to men and women as well. Modesty in our dress is important. Paul didn't say that we should be adorned in modest apparel because God wanted all of us as Christians to be plain and unremarkable in any way. But he did want us to dress in such a way that would not cause someone else's mind to go awry. In one of Paul's letters, he listed different things that defile the body. Some of these things that he mentioned were actions. Let me just read to you from Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. These are the works, the actions, okay, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and in case he missed anything, he said, and such like, okay? But let's look at these things that defile the spirit. Sins that defile the spirit. Number one, envy and self-righteousness. Now, the passage that I just read to you, it had a lot of actions, things that as Christians we know we should not do. But it also included attitudes, if you will. And one of them is this matter of envy and self-righteousness. In the New Testament, Christ taught about the prodigal son. But I want you to focus on the prodigal son's brother in that story, in that parable. Do you remember the prodigal son came home and big brother had a problem with the fact that dad was having a banquet, throwing a party, a celebration to welcome the prodigal son back home. And he points out in that passage, he never disobeyed his father's commandments. And yet, he's jealous. There's definitely this sense of self-righteousness about him. I've never disobeyed anything my father's ever told me to do. He did everything right in his home, the son did. He obeyed every commandment his father gave him. He did everything right. All the outward, all the do's and don'ts, he had it all lined up in place. But he neglected his inner life, where the jealousy was, the envy. King Saul was another one. Envious and jealous over David, receiving more praise than him. We have to understand something. That God places us in the body of Christ where and as it pleases him, with the abilities that he gave us to do the job he planned for us to do. Who you are, what you are, how you are is all determined by God to do what he's planned for you to do. To some, He puts people in a place of prominence. To others, a place of obscurity. To some, he gives an outgoing personality. To others, not. To some, he gives the ability to make friends easily. To others, not. To some, he gives a certain size or look. To others, different sizes and looks. Regardless of our station in life, there is always the temptation for us to envy, to want what someone else has, to be like someone else. And the cure for this is found in Psalm chapter 73. The cure is simply this: finding contentment in God. Content with who you are in life, where you are in life, how you are in life. And that contentment comes from being content with the fact that God placed you where he placed you, how he placed you. Another huge defilement of the spirit is this. Number two, bitterness. Bitterness many times happens when we don't trust God's sovereign control of our lives. And we can have a form of bitterness toward God. Let's consider Joseph in the Old Testament. Now, he, humanly speaking, we would say he definitely had a reason to be bitter. But he never lost sight of the fact that God was in control. No matter what the circumstances were, and for him, they were really bad, he never lost sight of the fact that God was in control. In the end of the account of Joseph's life, do you remember he told his brothers that they, what they did to him, they meant it for evil, but God, who is sovereign and in control, he meant it for good. Many times our bitterness is towards people. Bitterness toward people results when we have an unforgiving spirit. It's not an action, but it is a thought. It's in our spirit. It's the inside that we neglect so many times. We are wronged. We don't forgive. We harbor thoughts of bitterness. Well, let's change.